Like to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the house of the Lord this night. Yet beautiful days such as today, it's tempting to find other things to do than to come to the house of the Lord. And because you have made the effort, I'm sure the Lord will bless you in those efforts in which you have made this evening. For a call to worship this evening, I want to read to you a few verses out of John, the 14th chapter. And this is the Lord as he's speaking to the brethren, trying to explain that which is about to take place. And beginning with the 15th verse, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And then down in the 21st verse, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Then being questioned by Judas, not Iscariot, about how he would manifest himself unto them. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, and keepeth not my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's continue with hymn 320.
you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, the good spirit this morning. We pray for it this evening and to be with us to give him the words we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
For my opening scripture, I have selected John 18, starting with verse 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his record.
Hymn 313.
Well, good evening. It's certainly good to see everyone tonight. And it's interesting. It doesn't matter how many people or how few people are out there. It's always difficult and a humbling experience to stand up here and to do what the Lord's asked us to do. As I hope you've gathered, the theme for tonight, that which I feel to talk about is truth. And along that line, I'd like to share a small story, a story of four young men who were in high school, and they were out on their way to school and decided they didn't want to go into school yet. So they took a detour and they went out joyriding, knowing full well that the first period they were missing, there was a test. And they all agreed. They said, well, we'll just go in and tell him we had a flat tire. So they go into the first hour class and they plead with the teacher and they say, sorry, we had a flat tire. Can we come back and take the test? And he thought about it for a minute and he said, okay, he said, come back and see me at the end of the school day. So the young men thought they had accomplished something, thought they had pulled something over on him. They returned to the classroom that afternoon and went in to the teachers and talked to the teacher. He gave them each a piece of paper that in a folder, and he decided to send them to a separate room. He said, I want you guys to go into separate rooms to take this test. So he sent them to four different rooms, and when they sat down and opened the test simply said which tire was flat. So it's a small story, and I thought it was interesting. It shows that no matter how wise we think we are, the truth will always come out. And if your story's not straight, then it'll probably be worse. So anyway. So what is truth? Pilate asked that question, and that question has stuck in my mind for some time. And according to the Strong's Concordance, truth, but not merely truth as spoken, truth of idea, reality, sincerity, truth in the moral sphere. And I find that interesting because we're going to read a scripture that touches upon that. Divine truth revealed to man. Webster states that which is true in accordance with fact or reality, and also a fact or belief that is accepted as true. And see, in our world, we have a problem with that because truth changes constantly, doesn't it? And that's right now, that's the big, one of the biggest catches we face as a society and as our laws are made, is what is true and what is right. So let's turn. I hope you brought your scriptures. If you did, I want to invite you to follow along. We're going to cover a few scriptures tonight. And we're going to start in Doctrine and Covenants, section 90. So what is truth? There's many scriptures on truth. One in particular that I find very enlightening is in section 90. And of course, I would recommend and commend to you to read all these scriptures in full. The sections and the scriptures we touch on, we're just going to be touching on a few of them, small parts of them. So if you turn to section 90 and we start in verse 4. And now verily I say unto you, I was in the beginning with the Father. I am the firstborn, and all those who are begotten through me are partakers of the glory of the same, and are the church of the firstborn. Ye were also in the beginning with the Father, that which is spirit, even the spirit of truth. So you notice there's a capital S on that. So we're talking about the Lord, the spirit, even the spirit of truth. And truth is the knowledge of things as they are, as they were, and as they are to come. And whatsoever is more or less than this is the spirit of that wicked one who was a liar from the beginning. So here we're touching on what truth is. Okay? The spirit of truth is of God. I am the spirit of truth. And John bore record of me, saying, he received a fullness of truth, yea, even all truth, And no man receiveth a fullness unless he keepeth his commandments. He that keepeth his commandments receiveth truth and light, until he is glorified in truth and knoweth all things. So we must keep his commandments. And if we do, he will enlighten us. He will give us truth and light. Verse 5, man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence, or the light of truth, was not created or made, neither indeed can be. So there's an interesting thought. Intelligence was not created or made. Obviously, it just is, because the Lord is. All truth is independent in that sphere in which God has placed it. So this goes back to what Strong's gave us as a definition. In the moral sphere. Interesting. All truth is independent in that sphere in which God has placed it, to act for itself, as all intelligence also, otherwise there is no existence. So we have this force, this thing, this living thing, this intelligence that acts on its own. And as it were, it's placed in the sphere. It moves independently. Behold, here is the agency of man, and here is the condemnation of man, because that which was from the beginning is plainly manifest unto them. And they receive not the light. And every man whose spirit receiveth not the light is under condemnation, for man is spirit. The elements are eternal, and spirit and element, inseparably connected, receiveth a fullness of joy. And when separated, man cannot receive a fullness of joy. The elements are the tabernacle of God. Yea, man is the tabernacle of God, even temples. And whatsoever temple is defiled, God shall destroy that temple. The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. So this is something I want you to remember. The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. Light and truth forsaketh that evil one. Every spirit of man was innocent in the beginning, and God having redeemed man from the fall, men became again in their infant state, innocent before God. And that wicked one cometh and taketh away light and truth through disobedience from the children of men, and because of the traditions of their fathers. But I have commanded you to bring your children up in light and truth. In John 14:6, John, the Lord states, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. The way, because he is the way of salvation unto the Lord. The truth, because he is the word. And the light, because he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you flip a few pages over in Doctrine and Covenants to section 83, in verse 7. Doctrine and Covenants 83, verse 7, starting at the beginning. And now I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. For the word of the Lord is truth. The word of the Lord is truth. And whatsoever is truth is light. And whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. Doesn't just say some, not just us, not just men, not just women. Not just Americans, not just Germans, not just the Israelites. All men. And the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world and hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. So we see that the Lord speaks to men through the world. And if they listen, they will hear him. For everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of this Spirit, of the Spirit, cometh unto God, even the Father. Okay? But now I want to look at what's going on in the world around us. What's happened? What has happened? And I think we all know the answer to that. If you would, turn to Genesis 7. Verse 32. Satan could not allow. He cannot allow, he cannot stand to have truth go forth upon the face of this earth. In the book of John, Christ is talking to one of the Sadducees or Pharisees, and he said, your father's the devil, and he has no truth in him. So we see that even Christ acknowledged that Satan cannot have any truth in him. So is he even capable of half-truths? I guess a half-truth is still a lie, but you have to have some truth. You have to know what truth is. So we see that Satan could not allow this to happen. And in verse 32, and he beheld Satan, and he had a great chain in his hand, and it veiled the whole face of the earth with darkness. And he looked up and laughed, and his angels rejoiced. So we see that Satan is now blinding, has been from the beginning of time, blinding the eyes of men and steering them away from the truth, causing them to decide what they want truth to be. What feels right? What do you feel like truth should be today? And we see that. And we see it so apparent in the world around us today. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 105, 9a, it says, darkness covereth the earth, and gross darkness the minds of the people. So here we see the scripture goes a little more, it gets a little more pointed, and it said, gross darkness the minds of man. So man is having a hard time determining what is truth anymore. What is truth? How do we discern what truth is? And that's a big problem we have today, especially in the church. And we have to be able to discern truth. Because if we don't, then we are going to be deceived. One of the results is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Yea, the Lord, even Jesus, whose coming is not until after there cometh a falling away, by the working of Satan with all power, and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And so we see this today in our world. We see Satan feeding humanity lies. We are fed lies each and every day, and we have to be careful. We have to rightly discern what is truth. Because there's truth, there's things that happen that have happened. We walked up the stairs to get to this point. That is a truth. But this truth goes much deeper. This truth is in the moral sphere. This truth is a foundation. It is a pillar that governs, that moves, that functions independent. And that's difficult, I think, for us to understand. We can understand how love moves and functions, but what about truth? It has to move in the same way. Truth is a force, a being, if you will. I don't want to call it because I personally think it's living. It has to be. Everything that God has created has a life in it because He created it. That's a discussion for another time, perhaps. So he has sent mankind strong delusions. They want to believe a lie because it's convenient, because it makes them feel good. They're not accountable. And society today now teaches us that you can do whatever you want. Even though this group of people feels like it's wrong, we will write laws to protect you. And everybody has their freedom. We all agree on that. Every man has his agency. But our job as the church is to try and make sure that this does not happen and transpire in the country, in our world. And it's a battle that we've had a hard time winning. And it's not lost, because the Lord will have the final say in all of this. But I want us to try and and think deeper about what is truth. In your mind, what is truth? What do I believe truth is? And it's not necessarily sitting down in a court case and hearing a case and hearing the facts and this is what somebody said happened. But this is truth. This is things as they are, things as they were, and things as they will be. That's the spirit of revelation, the spirit of prophecy. But things as they will be. And that's available to all of us. Okay, Isaiah 60. Okay, we'll start at the beginning. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That sounds like hope, doesn't it? Even though the world around us is suffering in gross darkness, there's our hope. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What is his glory? We just talked about it. Intelligence. Thank you. Intelligence, or light and truth, right? That will light upon us. And I believe it has to a certain extent. It's upon this church. It's upon his church. It's upon his priesthood. It's upon his body, the body of Christ. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. Are we excited about that? That's wonderful. To be a light unto this world that we've called to be a witness, to be there for somebody who stands in need, somebody who's suffering, somebody who feels like there's no answer in life. You know, God puts us in those positions to be a witness to people and to be that light. And you never know when a smile is all that he needs from you for one person. Okay, so let's get to the good stuff here. If you would, turn to Genesis 6. We're going to talk about the light. 6, verse 64. Now, I want you all to listen to this and understand this is for every one of you who's entered into covenant with the Lord. Therefore it is given to abide in you the record of heaven, the comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, the truth of all things. See, each one of you can have that. We can have that. We will have that. That which quickeneth all things, which maketh all things alive, which maketh alive all things, excuse me. That which knoweth all things, and hath all power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. That is given to abide in you, that comforter. And Dan read about it at the opening of the service, and I'm glad he did. This comforter is given to you. The record of heaven is given to abide in you. Turning to John chapter 14. We'll see if I hit your scripture. It doesn't matter. It's good. It's good to hear it again. We're going to be in John 14, verses 16 through 18. And I pray, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Okay, so there's a promise. He's gonna give us another comforter, right? Okay, if you would turn to over to chapter 15, verse 26. Same language. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So this Comforter testifies to you of Jesus Christ in your life continually. And I would hope that I would have a outstanding show of hands if you all could raise your hand and say, yes, that does happen. I think you could all agree he does testify. The Spirit testifies to you, right? That's why you're all here. Is it not? Hopefully none of you were drug here tonight. Okay, so if we turn over to chapter 16 of John, and let's look at verse 7. And this is the Lord's sharing with his disciples how this is going to happen and why it has to happen the way it happens. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Could you imagine the sorrow that they felt when they had walked with him and all of a sudden they feel like they're starting to get it? And then all of a sudden he's like, I have to go away. And the sorrow they must have felt. But when he left, all mankind could then benefit. And those disciples could do so much more. And he goes on to say, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Okay, and then if we go down to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Now, I don't know where you can go in the world and find that kind of a promise and have it be legitimate and not somebody trying to take your money. Okay. Let's go back to Doctrine and Covenants, and let's turn to section 85. And once again, I will say, I would commend you to read all of these sections and these scriptures in context. But because of time and allotted, we're just going to share on specific scripture. 85:21. And this scripture ties back to section 90. Also I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall continue in prayer and fasting from this time forth. I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. Now this is to his priesthood. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that is expedient for you to understand. Okay, and he's going on. Of things both in heaven and in earth. So here we go. We're understanding the things of heaven and earth. We're understanding the kingdom. Doctrine, principles, our theory, our theorizing is more perfect. Our minds are functioning better. And we're understanding what the Lord is wanting us to do and what he's doing. And under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass. There again, we have the past, we have the present, we have the future. He will make that known unto his priesthood and unto his people, that we might know. It's not, he doesn't want to just lead us along with a carrot. He wants to give us these things. But first, we have to be able to endure them. We have to be deserving. We have to be able to handle them. We as the priesthood have to be able to discern rightly. If we cannot discern that which we're given, how will we protect the people, protect the sheep? It is so important for us to have discernment and wisdom, because the gifts are coming. I believe that, and I think all you believe that too. We know that. And we can know for a surety that when those gifts come, Satan will be right there with his counterfeit, trying to lead the people astray ever so slightly. We all must have discernment and wisdom. We all must know the truth. And then it doesn't matter, man, woman, child. That doesn't sound right. That's a red flag. It doesn't matter. The body of Christ will watch over each other and help each other. But the priesthood, first and foremost, we have a big job ahead of us. Okay, he's going on. Things which are at home, so maybe in our neighborhoods or maybe in our country. Things which are abroad, across the ocean. The wars and perplexities of the nations and the judgments which are on the land. Don't we feel like, in a way, we kind of understand what's going on over there, even though the rest of the world tells a different story? I say over there, but, you know, I guess that's the normal place to point, across the ocean, because that's where all the wars seem to be happening. But we have wars here. We've been fighting some very brutal wars here. And so the Lord is showing us, I will give you these things. These things are available. A knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms, that ye may be prepared in all things when I shall send you again to magnify the calling whereunto I have called you, and to the mission and the mission with which I have commissioned you. This is so wonderful. This is a hope. This is a promise. And this excites me. And obviously it doesn't excite me enough, because I don't know if I've changed enough or that much from the first time I read this. So it's time for some questions. You know I enjoy asking questions. I want to ask you, what about your life? What in your mind can you think, what is the world teaching us about truth today? What is it telling us? You know, we turn on the TV and they tell us what they want us to believe. That's a fact. They are telling us what they want us to believe. They are telling us what we should believe, what we should know. The fact that we're receiving facts, I find that very hard to believe, because who is in charge of that part of the world? Satan, prince of the power of the air. He's got his hands all through it. Now, there are worthwhile, worthy news sources out there, but I want to caution you. We must look with such careful eyes. We need to be careful what we are watching, what we are taking in and is accepting as truth, because Satan knows we're watchdogs. He knows we're looking for the signs, the ends of the times. But we have to be careful, because he's trying to feed us lies more so than anybody else, because we're the harder nuts to crack, so to speak. We have to be careful. We have to be careful who we rely on for our sources. This leads into, you know, I think of work and I think of conversations that go on in work and how easy it is when you get caught up in a conversation to share information that may or may not be true. Another example of truth. May or may not be true, but does it need to be shared? Probably not. You know, if it's about somebody and what they're doing, and unless it's for somebody's safety, you know, these are the smaller details in our lives, but they're very big that we have to watch out for in our lives. So do we seek truth in our own lives? When you look at yourself, when we look at ourselves, do we seek truth? Do we want to know? Are we ready to cast down what's in our imaginations? Are we ready to allow the Lord to define what we should be thinking about certain things? We have a lot of tradition. We are steeped in tradition as a people. You know, humanity, we love traditions. And so we get caught up in doing things a certain way. I remember a story that a brother shared about a Christmas ham, I think it was. And every year, they would cut off the end of the ham, put it in the pot, and cook it. Everybody, I see people shaking their heads. Apparently, this is a pretty familiar story. It's funny because they do this all through down through the generations. And, well, why do you do that? I don't know. Well, Mom did it. Well, why'd you do it? I don't know. Grandma did it. Great-grandma did it. Great-great-grandma did it. Great-grandma, you find out from her, well, we just didn't have a pan big enough, so we cut the end off. And here we are, we've got bigger pans, and we still cut the end off the ham. You know, it's a point that we take traditions, do we examine what our traditions are? Do we examine why we do or believe what we believe? And I'm not trying to single out any one thing in particular. I'm just wanting us to focus on our lives and what we perceive in daily lives. What is it that we accept as truth? And I'm not saying that we should go out and question everything. Well, in a way, I am. Don't you kind of feel like when Jesus Christ walked this earth and you saw him interacting with his disciples and they thought they knew how he was going to respond and they try to beat him to it and he's like, no, apparently they got it wrong. You know, the little children ran up to him. Well, they don't need him. They're perfect. Well, still, I want them to come up. I want to bless them. You know, the disciples tried so hard. They wanted to be right. And continually, the Lord was showing them a different side, a different angle, causing them to think. And what it did to the Sadducees and Pharisees, tradition is what hung Jesus Christ on the cross. These men thought they were doing God a favor. He seemed like a heretic. He was blaspheming. He was letting people eat. He was healing people on the Sabbath day. He was letting people pick corn out of somebody else's field. You know, we have to stop and look at, we have the records. We see, we look back and we're thinking, well, why didn't they see that Jesus was going to respond that way? I know how he'd respond. We need to look at and we need to evaluate our lives and what's going on each and every day, what we participate in, what we're taking in. And we need to ask ourselves, God, what is truth? What is the truth regarding this thing? In Ephesians, we read about the whole armor of God. And that reference is Ephesians 6. Starting in 11, I think, but the verse in particular is verse 14. And it said, have your loins girt about with truth. Okay, and I've pondered that. And one thing that kind of struck me was, if you think about where our center of gravity is. Now, granted, center of gravity changes with a man or a woman. You know, it's a little bit different. It's not all the same. But the center of gravity is, there's not much difference. It's not a whole lot of difference. You know, when you think about your loins being girt about with truth, I see that as a balance that keeps you from falling, a balance that keeps you from being deceived. It keeps you sturdy and stable in life. And so I offer that up to you because I feel like it's very fitting that our loins should be girt about with that truth. We turn over to John chapter 17, verses 17 through 19. And this is Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying not for the world, but for his disciples and for those who will believe on his name through their words. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And so Christ did this for his disciples, for us. And now I believe it's our turn. We must sanctify ourselves for others so that we can help others. We can do for others what they cannot do for themselves. And this is especially to the priesthood, that we do for others what they cannot do to help them. We are to be sanctified. The whole world around you will tell you, oh, you'll never be perfect. You hear it all through society. As a matter of fact, you know, it's good to not be perfect out in the world. But we will be perfect. We will be perfected by Jesus Christ. And we are to sanctify ourselves that we might be that light to the world around us. And so what are we hoping for? If you turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 22, this is the promise. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant, which I made with thy father Enoch. There's the promise. A promise. When we embrace the truth, when that happens, then Zion will be able to return. It will come down and it will shake with gladness. And I'm looking forward to that kind of shaking. And I can't wait to meet those who have gone on before us. And I know that many of us, if not all, are looking forward to that day when we can see some of those who have gone on before us that we're looking forward to seeing. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. First John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And I hope we can say the same. I hope that we might be able to say the same.
I want to thank my brother for the message he brought into this people this night. Because of the day in which we live, the things that will come upon the face of this earth, and for our need to know and to be able to judge right from wrong. The Lord brought my attention to a scripture, section 6 of our Doctrine and Covenants. It says at the beginning, Oliver Cowdery met Joseph Smith on April 5th, 1829. 2 days later, he began to write for Joseph as a prophet dictated the translation of the Book of Mormon. Brothers and sisters, in 2 days, he received the answer he needed. And yet, at times he began to question, because the Lord had this revelation given unto him. In verse 6 it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, blessed art thou for what thou hast done. For thou hast inquired of me. And behold, as often as thou hast inquired of me, thou hast received instruction of my spirit. If it had not been so, thou wouldst not have come to the place where thou art at this time." And brothers and sisters, we need to reflect upon that in our lives. In the times we've inquired of the Lord to know His will, that we might abide in truth. Verse 7, Behold, thou knowest thou hast inquired of me, and I did enlighten thy mind, and now I tell you these things, that thou may knowest that thou hast been enlightened by the Spirit of truth. Dropping down to verse 9. Behold, thou art Oliver, and I have spoken unto thee because of thy desires. Therefore treasure up these words in thy heart. Be faithful and diligent in keeping the commandments of God, and I will encircle thee in the arms of my love. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He goes on in verse 11 and says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you desire a further witness, and sometimes we require a further witness, cast your mind upon a night that you cried unto me in your heart, that you might know concerning the truth of these things. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter? What greater witness can you have than from God? And now behold, you have received a witness. For if I have told you things which no man knoweth, have you not received a witness? Brothers and sisters, each of us have had a witness of the truth of God working in our lives from time to time. And from this day forth, we will be ever required to seek more truth and light, that we might be fit to be in His kingdom. Turn our hymnals to hymn 309. And we'll stand and sing this, and Brother Steve will bring our benediction.
thank you for the message that's been brought tonight. We thank you for the Spirit that's been here tonight. And Father, we pray that our hearts might be open to the truth, that we might be able to discern between what's true and what's not. And Father, we pray that the truth might go forth. There's much deception in the world today. And we pray that we might understand what is true, what is your will, and what are your words. And we pray also for the church, that the church might embrace that which is true, and that we might be able to tell the difference between the doctrines of men and your word. Thank you for all things. We pray to bless each and every person that's here. And Father, we pray that you'll bless those who have special needs and who are in need of prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.